Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we have another reading roundup, and we're going to be talking about summer reads. And we also have a reoccurring guest. We've got Rahika back with us. So thank you so much for joining us, Rahika.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It feels so good to be a reoccurring guest.
So I think a good place to start is just kind of talking about our reading lives over the past few months. Mine personally has been kind of abysmal. I don't have too many things to talk about other than stuff we've read for the podcast, but what about your reading lives?
Well, since 2023 has started, I think last year was my first kind of slow year. I only read, I think, about 75 books. And then this year, but that was a hard deadline kind of or hard goal for me to meet. So I made myself just do 52 books this year, just like a book a week. I'm already behind, so I don't know how that's going to go. But yeah, I've had some good reads so far. A lot of surprising reads, for sure. I did read Prince Harry's memoir, so you don't have to. I'm happy to talk about it. I was totally wrapped up in the hype, I will say. But yeah. Overall, it's okay. Definitely going slow.
I would agree with that. I feel like mine is definitely going slow. Probably much slower than yours, Rahika. I'm lucky if I get to read like 2 or 3 books a month, which is not very quick at all. But I do occasionally find books that I'm like, oh, I'd love to read this one. And then I'll pick them up. It's kind of where I'm at.
So you mentioned the Prince Harry memoir. I was considering reading it, I think, like you said, because of the hype. But then I realized all the juicy bits are probably what are put into the news articles about it. So I just read those instead and called it a day. Was there anything not commonly reported from that that's worth knowing?
You know, I think a little yes, a little no. I think parts of the book, I mean, that were really juicy, quote unquote, did get spoiled. I think the context in which those parts were put in the book were a lot more muted than I think the news made it seem. But yeah, I really liked it. I, growing up, like a lot of people, thought I was going to fall in love, marry Prince Harry, and then, you know, be a princess. And so I read it, even though, you know, he's much older than me, but it was more like a, you know, High School Musical crush. And so I read it because my mom and I just loved keeping up with British royal drama throughout the years. And I wanted to kind of follow up on that. But there were some things I will say about the royal family that really shocked me, just how they interact, things that they do throughout the year that I was surprised by. I did, though, listen to the audiobook, which is read by the author, which I highly recommend for this book's fare, because I just thought it made it more juicy, more dramatic, because he's reading it and it's like, oh, Harry, Camilla did what, you know? And so it's good.
So what of the books that you've read, which one has been your favorite book that you've read recently?
Okay, so I love Taylor Jenkins Reid. I read Carrie Soto is Back. She's the author who wrote Daisy Jones and the Six and Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is also turning into a show or a movie. I think I saw that Selena Gomez will be playing Evelyn Hugo, which could be amazing. I'm very excited. But Carrie Soto's Back is about a tennis player who is supposed to be the greatest of all time, retires, and then decides someone is about to take her title, and she decides to come back out of retirement to show that she can still do it. It really is great. Taylor Jenkins Reid does historical fiction like no other. But then I also read Legends and Lattes. Have you guys heard of that book? It is such a unique concept. It's by Travis Baldry, I think. It's about I think like Dungeons and Dragons meets coffee shop. It's about this ogre, orc, something like that, who decides, you know what, I'm going to open a coffee shop in this like medieval fantasy realm where no one knows what coffee is. because I don't want to fight in wars and all this stuff anymore. It is so good. I heard about it on TikTok and then I read it from there.
TikTok.
I know, but it was actually a good TikTok to read, I will say. What about you guys? Have you read anything really good lately?
I'm just saying that this cover on that book, I feel like it's one I wouldn't necessarily pick up based on the cover, but I feel like you describing the premise of it, I'm very interested.
I picked it up because I was like, this sounds so intriguing. And I love the author who wrote Monster. Do you remember? Can't seem to find it, but there was a book that I read ages ago. It had a yellow cover. I could have sworn it was named Monster or something. But it was about an exterminator who exterminated magical creatures. And he was like this really unlikable guy. And it was such a good book. And it kind of reminded me of that too. Like a little bit of magical realism, although in this case, very much fantasy, because she is like an orc or an ogre turning into a barista. But it just was such a unique concept. And it was like fairy tale creatures discovering coffee for the first time is not a book I thought I needed, but it's a book we got and it was great.
I love that. Looking at my list, and I've really only read a few books that weren't for the podcast recently. So they were This Time Tomorrow, Burnout, Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle, and London Seance Society. I think out of those, London Seance Society was definitely the best. I know there's a lot of hype around This Time Tomorrow, and I feel like I enjoyed parts of it, but other parts of it, I was just a little bit bored. So it wasn't really my favorite, but London Seance Society. Read it in the fall if you want your spooky fall vibes.
Yeah, I feel like London Seance Society is definitely on my TBR list because we read the other Sarah Penner book for the podcast. What was it again?
Lost Apothecary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I remember that book. I read that, too. It was, her covers are always so enticing. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was the same author, although it makes sense because she's into kind of like the dark London aesthetic.
I also love all the things she was doing around the book publishing, because I just remember, I told Kaylee this at some point, but I don't know if it was recorded, where she was in the airport one day, and so she just hid a pre-release copy in the airport and, like, made a post that was like, go find it. And I was like, that would be so cool to, like, if I was able to actually find it. I was not in Florida, so I had no shot. So I feel like there's kind of, like, limited chances to be involved in that, but I thought it was really cool.
Oh. I found the name of the author of that book I was talking about. His name is A. Lee Martinez, and the book is called Monster. He's one of the most unique authors that I've ever read, and so I highly do recommend his stuff. I've read that book and Gill's All Fright Diner, and I think Helen and Troy's Epic Road Quest is on my TBR.
I realized I didn't really describe London Science Society, in case anybody wants to know. Because I feel like sometimes I listen to book podcasts where they drop the name and don't say anything. And I'm like, well, now I have to go look this up. So I'll save you the step. Shocker for me. But again, we have two narrators following two different storylines. But I think, like I've said before, with this, it's like it was really well done. So I liked it. It didn't seem like it was just there to be there and to sell books. And so the whole premise is there's this famous medium, and she was kind of like chased out of London. And then there's this man who was in charge or high up in the London Seance Society, which is based on the old gentlemen's clubs in England and London. And so basically he was murdered, and then they bring the famous medium back. And then she has this apprentice, and they're trying to figure out who killed this person. And also the apprentice's sister died. And so they're trying to connect all the threads.
Okay, I don't think I knew exactly what the book was about. And so it was kind of in the middle of my TBR. But that description just bumped it up to a top five TBR listing for me. I did not realize it was like a murder mystery at its core. That sounds super interesting.
Because me personally, I'm not super into the whole medium realm, like that kind of area doesn't usually draw me, but I think it's because it's by an author that I read before that I liked, and also the murder mystery aspect. And the cover.
And the cover. Always the cover. Yeah, I'm on, I use that Book of the Month subscription. My amazing sister, she introduced me to it years ago now. And yeah, I think it was on Book of the Month, and they started doing audiobooks too, which I drive a lot. So I've been delving into the world of audiobooks. And so it's on my TBR for audiobook, because supposedly the audiobook is really good.
Okay, Book of the Month audiobook totally changes the game.
Right? It really, really does. I think I've discovered that I like certain genres a little bit more for audiobooks. So I'm currently also listening to the first Outlander book. Have you guys heard of Outlander?
Is that like the show on Netflix?
It's a show on Netflix with a very handsome gentleman who's like Scottish or something. And yeah, he's in a new movie with Priyanka Chopra. I forget his name.
Is it Sam Heughan?
Sam Heughan, yeah. He's like red hair or whatever. But so I really like premise of the show, but I just got a little bored with the show, to be honest. And so I thought, you know, the book was free on Audible. So I thought, I'm just going to like read it. It is 72 hours long. yeah, so definitely, you know. But I will say, in the little bit of Outlander, the show that I watched versus what I've read in the book, it follows it pretty closely. Like, some of even the dialogue is the same, which I do appreciate.
So a couple of books that I read this past however many months, I read Vera Wang's Unsolicited Guide to Murder. I actually got a pre-release copy of this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I won it off of Goodreads.
Oh my gosh, I always wondered if people won those things.
They like sent it to me and they were like, now you should write a review for it. I thought it was pretty good. The only thing that like kind of bothered me about it was I felt like all of the supporting characters were all kind of the same person. They didn't have very distinct personalities, and I think that that really bothered me about it. But I mean, like, it was an enjoyable read. And then the other book that I read that I actually really liked was Someone Else's Shoes by Jojo Moyes.
Oh.
I really liked that one. The characters were very fun. I felt like, especially towards the end, there was a lot of women supporting women, which I really appreciated. And it's kind of like, if you're into like Sophie Kinsella novels, I think you would like Someone Else's Shoes.
There was a time where I was reading a lot of Sophie Kinsella novels.
Me too. We all have a Sophie Kinsella phase.
So true.
They were really okay. What's your favorite Sophie Kinsella book?
Ooh.
I feel like I need to look up a list so I can be like, which ones did I read?
See, I feel like I've read, because I'm looking at the titles, I think I've read some of these other ones. I can only really remember Shopaholic, though.
I don't think I ever read Shopaholic. Wow. Wow, she read a lot of books.
There's one that came out relatively recently, and I was like, should I read that and just relive the nostalgia of, what, late teens, was it? I don't know when my Sophie Kinsella phase was.
Mine was 2 years ago.
I feel like my Sophie Kinsella phase was really when I first started getting into, like, the bridge between YA and adult novels. Because it's like, it's a good one to kind of bridge that gap where it's like not as serious as a lot of adult novels are and still just kind of like a fun read.
So the movie came out in 2009. So I'm guessing my Sophie Kinsella phase was around then.
Mine was like 2 years ago. I think I just realized that she is a good, like her books really embody kind of a slow summer day to me. You know, and so just like sitting outside and like reading quickly like a Sophie Kinsella novel is really good. I think the first book I read of her was My Not So Perfect Life.
Oh, I read that one. That one was good.
Yeah. They're all very cute and you feel happy at the end.
Yeah. I feel like recently that's kind of what I've been looking for in a book, is something that's going to make me feel like happy at the end. Or alternatively, something with some drama so that I can get angry and want to throw the book across the room. But in the end, I love it, you know?
So you can invest in other people's drama and not your own.
Exactly. Exactly.
That makes me think of two books that are on my TBR for this summer that I hope have that kind of vibe to them. One is Happy Place by Emily Henry. She writes a lot of those books that always kind of end in happiness. I pulled up the book summary. It seems to be reviewing really well so far, but it's about a couple who met in college that were perfect together, and now they're not, and they break up, but they haven't told their best friends. And I think they have to go on vacation as a group together while essentially lying to their friends and about how they're not broken up. But she just writes some really heartwarming reads. And then the second book is Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld. Have you guys seen that book?
I've heard a lot of buzz around it.
Yeah. So it's a comedy writer thinks she's sworn off love until a dreamily handsome pop star flips the script on all of her assumptions. The cover really calls to me. I don't know why, but yeah, I think those are some books that I'm hoping have that very kind of heartwarming vibe in the end.
I think I'm planning on reading a lot of those cozy mystery books, partly because I enjoy them and partly so I can have some suggestions for our cozy mystery episodes, because I think there's just something nice where they're not as like grisly as like some mystery books can get. And like you still get that feeling of like satisfaction when they solve it in the end, like the nice resolution. And then there's usually some cozy, like either like a friendship or a romance thing on the side.
Leanne, did I tell you about the Shady Hollow series?
I don't know.
I think that to me, it's Shady Hollow by Juno Black. That to me is the definition of cozy mystery. It's about a bunch of woodland creatures who live in this perfect little woodland village. And then there's a murder and they are like shocked to their core about what to do. And this little fox goes on like a detective spree. She's a reporter. When I think cozy mystery, I think that series. The cover is beautiful. The writing is so quirky and unique. Highly recommend it. It is a perfect sit with a cup of tea, but still love true crime kind of book.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes when you're reading some mystery thriller books, they can get a little like graphic. I'm kind of in it more for like, yay, you solved it at the end of the day vibes. Then like, I don't need to read too much about like what happened in terms of the details of whatever occurrence, murder, robbery, whatever.
Agreed. I feel like I'm kind of the same way with that about like TV shows too. I'm like, I don't need to see in graphic detail what happens all the time. Same thing with books. Sometimes you don't need all the details. For my work, we were going to do a book club, which we're still going to do this book club. I need to have this book read by May 8th, and I haven't even started it. But we were between doing cozy mysteries or like a romance novel, because I guess those were like the top two between everybody in my team. And we settled on a romance novel. It's called The Soulmate Equation by Christina Lauren. And so we ordered these books. They came in. I was like, oh, no worries. Like, I'll just read it during lunch sometimes and it'll be fine. I got about 5 pages in and it's definitely a little too spicy to be reading in the workplace in your lunchroom. I was like, I don't think any of us realized. Like, we were just like, oh, it sounds like it would be like a fun little novel. Because it was like this lady takes a DNA test and it's supposed to help you find your perfect match. And her perfect match ends up being the person who, like, created this company. And so we were like, oh, this sounds like a very lighthearted thing. Like, it'll be great. And then it's not that it was, like, super risque, but it was like, I don't feel comfortable reading this in the lunchroom of my workplace. So it's going to be interesting when we all get together and talk about it. I'm like, well, either way it will be. But it'll be good, I'm sure.
That makes me think, what are your guys's top three recommendations for romance novels that are just heartwarming romance and not you know, the book that Kaylee was just talking about. You can't read it in your workroom kind of situation. Because I can think of like three off the top of my head, and I think those are the romance novels that like really stick with me that I like.
I don't know that I can think of any off the top of my head. I feel like I need to like pull out my list of books I've read.
Okay, I don't know if this quite fits the criteria, because I feel like it wasn't like super spicy, but like I feel as like there was a little bit of steam. But I could quite enjoyed Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I enjoyed that too. It's been so long since I read it.
I listened to it on audio, which I think also has the benefit, because like it's not like you're holding the book open and someone's like peering over what you're reading.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't have the volume up too loud, no one can hear it through your headphones.
As a tangent, a book that was steamier than I thought it was the Court of Mist and Fury series. I don't know what I was thinking. I did really like it. I loved The Wicked King by Holly Black, like that whole series, or just like that, whatever the original series was. I loved everything about it. And so I picked up A Court of Mist and Fury, not realizing. And there were parts where I was like, wait, I did not realize what book I was reading at all. I think when I think of really wholesome rom-com book, the first book that comes to mind is Funny You Should Ask by Alyssa Sussman. I gave that 5 stars. It was so surprising, so good. It was just so wholesome. It's like this reporter, if I'm remembering correctly, this reporter essentially in the height of this, you know, actor's fame does an interview over the course of a weekend. And it launches her career. It makes everyone think that they're in a romance or something. But then they never talk again for like 20 years. And then as he's retiring, I think, he says he'll do one last interview and it's with her. He'll only do it with her. And so they meet back up again and she does another interview. It was so wholesome, so sweet. It made me happy. And then I read The Bodyguard by Catherine Center recently. Same vibes. This like woman, which I also love the not typecasting in this book, but this woman is a bodyguard for a actor over the course of a weekend. And it's just, I just loved it. They're very wholesome.
Another one that I read this year was called Weather Girl. I listened to it on audio. I think I told Kaylee about it. It's super cute. So the two characters, one of them is the weather person and then the other one's the sports reporter. And so their TV station is owned by an ex-wife and ex-husband. So there's like a double layer thing where the two main characters kind of get together because they're trying to get their spouses to like fall back in love. So there's less drama at work. Because the head and of the station, the head porter are kind of like going at each other because of like whatever happened with their divorce. And so they're like, oh, if we can get them back together, our lives at work will be easier. And then obviously, because it's a romance, and this is not a spoiler because it's a romance, they get together at the end.
I love it.
That's my hot take, is that if you say they get together at the end and it's a romance book, it's not a spoiler.
No, I don't think this is a spoiler.
Yeah, that's fair.
Half the fun is the journey anyways.
I feel like when you read a romance, you know what you're signing up for.
Yeah, for sure. Kaylee, I think a good book club read for this summer for your coworkers that's romance, but not non-coworker friendly romance, is One Italian Summer by Rebecca Searle. Have you guys read it?
I read it after you mentioned it last year, I think, at some point.
Did you like it?
Yeah. It makes me want to go to Italy.
It really makes me want to go to Italy. Yes, yeah, okay. Book club vacation. We go to Italy.
Yes.
And go along the trip that this author, the character, took. It was so wholesome. I just loved it. It was the like epitome of summer. I made a giant pitcher of sangria, I remember that summer. And I was just sitting there in like the sun reading this book and I could not put it down.
I'll have to look into that one because you have mentioned it before. Also, I did read the Cruel Prince series by Holly Black, which I think is the same one you were talking about.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I read the first two. It was so much like darker and the characters were so much like meaner to each other than I thought they were going to be. I was like, oh, it was, I don't know. I had very mixed feelings about it. I wasn't sure. I think I read the first two and then I stopped.
Is The Cruel Prince YA?
It might have been.
Because I know A Court of Thorns and Roses I thought was YA and it's not. Definitely not. Remember that when you recommend it to children, people. Definitely not YA. They just have really colorful covers. And they really get you with that. Because I love reading YA. But I can't remember if A Cruel Prince was YA.
I feel like it might have been, but I'm also not positive. Also, a question for you all, because you all have a lot of good book recommendations and know about the book world. Have you read Malibu Rising? And if so, what are your feelings on it? Because I just checked it out from the library and I have it on audiobook and I have no idea what it's about. I know I just checked it out. That's it. That's all I know.
Wait, before, why did you check it out then? What got you?
So my library has these book club bags where it's like a bag and it's like 10 books in it. You can check out the whole bag and then you can distribute them to your friends, whatnot, and have a book club. And so they normally have really good books in there. Like, I think they had How Much of These Hills is Gold in there. They had a couple other ones that, like, we've read for the podcast in there. And they had Malibu Rising. And I was like, well, I feel like they have a lot of really good books that I've enjoyed on their book club shelf. So maybe I should just check this out. And so I just checked it out.
I have read it. I am a huge Taylor Jenkins Reid fan. I've read all of her books, even the ones that were only 3 stars and no one really likes them. I will say her non-historical fiction books are very different than her like rom-com-y, not rom-com. I think she just writes true romance, like, but sad romance, I will say. She writes a lot of very sad romance outside. Malibu Rising, I loved. I don't know if you've read other books by her, but she is like Taylor Swift if she was an author. All of her books have little Easter eggs to the other book. So like in Carrie Soto is Back, there are references to Malibu Rising. In Malibu Rising, there are references to Carrie Soto is Back and Daisy Jones and the Six. And you're sitting, like, only I feel like people who've read all of her books will like get to those sections and be like, wait, is she talking about, like, so I think they're all in the same historical world. So it's just really great. I will say of the books I've read of hers, Malibu Rising was, it was up there. I love her historical fiction. It was kind of in the middle. You definitely will love it while you're reading it, but you'll read, like, if you haven't already, you'll read Daisy Jones and the Six or Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo or Carrie Soto's Back, and you'll think, okay, these are just a little bit better and more memorable in, it's just a little bit more punchy. Malibu Rising is about, it surrounds this one party that happens in the 60s and the family that was hosting the party. So it's a little shocking, a little good. I mean, very good, because she's just excellent. But I read it for the Easter eggs and it was worth it.
I didn't realize that she also wrote The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, because I have read that one.
Yeah. So that Evelyn Hugo also shows up in Malibu Rising, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
But it's like, it's so subtle. It's in the way that Taylor Swift writes songs, and it's about something 7 years in the future, but also 7 years in the past. That's how Taylor Jenkins Reid writes her books. Like, she must know exactly the books that are coming up. And she obviously knows the book she's already written, and she incorporates all of them into each book.
Wow.
I have two questions. You can kind of choose which one you want to go with first. One, if you picked a Taylor Jenkins Reid book that people should start with / have to read, what would it be? And two, what are your thoughts on the Daisy Jones and the Six show?
Ooh, if I picked a book that people should for sure read, okay, of her historical fiction that I've read, the top one that I think everyone should read would be Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Then I would say it's Carrie Soto is Back. Then I would say maybe it's a toss-up between Daisy Jones and the Six and Malibu Rising. I think they're in the same kind of vein of excitement, I guess. Carrie Soto and Evelyn Hugo are just very punchy, and you're like hooked every chapter because it's like a new time period almost. Whereas Daisy Jones and the Six and Malibu Rising are kind of a little bit more linear. And there's some flashbacks, there's some flash forwards, but you're talking about the same kind of general time period. So those are the differences. I've watched a couple episodes of Daisy Jones and the Six, the show. It did come out on my birthday, so I was hooked from then on. I feel like anytime something comes out on my birthday since I was a kid, I'm like obsessed with it. Aquamarine. Do you guys remember that movie?
Yeah.
With like JoJo. Yeah, I love that movie. But yeah, no. So I thought the show was pretty good. I thought it was cast really well. So if you listen to the audiobook of Daisy Jones and the Six, I forget who it is, but there's like a really famous actress who plays the other woman in the band, the guitarist or something. And I kind of wish they had her play the same character in the show. And that was my only like comment on it. But yeah, overall, I thought it was okay. It was pretty good. I think I'm more excited for Evelyn Hugo to be remade into a show.
Because I did listen to Daisy Jones and the Six, and I feel like I didn't love it. And I think some of it, like you said, with these books, part of the fun is probably recognizing those Easter eggs, which could add a different dimension. So I was just curious, like, and I think I might try out Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo to just see what that's like.
Yeah, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is so juicy that you're just kind of like, what? And you forget until the end where you're like, oh, wait, this is not a real person. Never mind.
I feel like The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is like if you were reading from the perspective of someone that a gossip column is written about.
Did you both read it? Did you listen to it?
I read it. I love the between Evelyn Hugo and Daisy Jones and the Six, I love finding out who the narrator is. That's something I always love about her book, for sure.
I also read it. I didn't audiobook that one. Surprisingly, I know I audiobook a lot of things.
That one's a good one to read, though. I think you're hooked.
I'm going to try that out.
Are there any other ones that are on your TBR list?
I want to read Under the Whispering Door by T.J. Klune. I've read or listened to his two previous books, and I liked Under the Whispering... Oh, gosh. Somebody else talk. I need to look this list up.
I've heard a lot of good things about T.J. Klune.
I loved Under the Whispering Door. See, it's just a hard title to say, but I loved that book. That was actually my book club in Vermont. That was a book that we read, and everybody loved it. It's so heartwarming. Maybe that's just like the genre I love. I love a good heartwarming book, but In the Lives of Puppets, I didn't realize it had come out. That looks great. Adding it to my TBR as we speak.
So I enjoyed The House in the Cerulean Sea, but like Ruhika, I loved Under the Whispering Door. I could be slightly biased because the premise or the setting is this tea shop, and I love tea. And that character's job is like to move people like when they die to the next like step, the next place. And then the main character who dies was an attorney. And so I feel like part of that whole interaction was just part of what made me liked it so much. The puppet one, I'm reading because I liked his other books. And it's apparently like a spin on the Pinocchio story.
Yeah, but with a robot. As I'm looking up the puppet one, I saw a book pop up in like a, if you like this, you'll like this. And I do just love the color. So it's called The Celebrants. By Stephen Rowley. He wrote The Gunkle.
That is also on my list.
It looks really good. Yeah, it looks really good. Oh, and then same thing happened just now. Same time next summer. Also just popped up on my, if you like this, you'll like this. And that looks really good.
Because I stumble so many times, I'm not sure what I'll cut. But if anybody's wondering, the puppet book by T.J. Klune is called In the Lives of Puppets.
In the Lives of Puppets. Got it.
But yeah, I'm also excited about The Celebrants. And I think, Kaylee, you should probably read it too since you like The Gunkle so much.
Yeah, it's definitely going to go on my TBR list. It's funny because I have our outline pulled up and I'm just like typing away as you guys are saying these so I can be like, oh, then I have them all in one place.
If there was one book that you like, that's on your TBR that you're just kind of like, I need to read this by the end of the summer because it's been on my summer TBR for like 7 million years in a row now, what is it?
I keep adding books at an alarming rate that like, I think I just need to stop and just read what I have on this list.
Same here. The other day I found out that if I am at the gym, I am able to like walk and read at the same time, which is a pretty big accomplishment in my world. And so I was like, oh, this is great. I can read probably a book a week or more. I was like, it'll be very good. This is dangerous knowledge.
Have I told you guys about this? But since I was a kid, I love reading in the shower. But like, I would just read a lot as a kid. And so I'd get in trouble for like just constantly having my face in a book. And so I was like, perfect time, the shower. So you like kind of stick a hand outside of the shower and you just like, you read as you kind of like very slowly take the longest shower of your life because you're trying to read this book. So, but then the Kindle Paperwhite waterproof version came out and my husband got me that as a gift and it was a game changer for my shower reading. You know, everything about it. I love my Kindle, which is so funny because the couple weeks leading up to me getting my Kindle for Christmas, I believe, I was telling him how like, oh, I don't understand why people use Kindles. I think like paper books are the best thing ever. And then I like got it and he was like, you can return it. You apparently will hate this. And then I use it so often. It's like the best gift I've ever gotten. But something that's been on my TBR on that Kindle for like years now, in that I started reading it. It is good. It makes me feel very smart after I read each page, is The City of Dreaming Books by Walter Mowers. Let me just say, it's about dinosaurs who live in a world of books. So if that doesn't interest you, I don't know what will.
This is giving me vibes of the, was it, Ogre Coffee Shop?
Legends and Lattes.
Yes. Okay. For this book, it's like that you don't really think, it's not very often throughout the book where you realize these are dinosaurs. And every so often they're like describing each other and you're like, wait, what? And you're like, oh, right. This is a book about dinosaurs. The author is clearly incredibly intelligent and a good writer. It's very like scholarly at times in the language it uses, but it's just, it's so highly reviewed, so well reviewed. People love it so much. I don't know what it is. It's just taken me 7 years to finish reading this book, but that is like my goal this summer, to just finish this book.
Okay, so I thought I didn't have an answer because I was looking through my story graph TBR. I'm like, I don't know what's been here forever. But then I realized on my Libby app, there are books that have been there since like August that I just kept doing deliver later because law school and I don't have time to read. And so I'm thinking that maybe this summer I should finally read those so I can get them off my hold list. So one of them I have is Blood Sugar, which I think is like a mystery. And then what else do we have? Breathless, which is like something about up in the mountains, also a mystery. And then I have Tomorrow and Tomorrow Tomorrow because it had such a big buzz, but then I feel like also it's been kind of mixed reviews. Some people love it, some people don't. I think it's like 14 hours. So I don't know. Those are some.
I'm trying to pull up my list that I have on Goodreads, which I know I should use StoryGraph, but I have Goodreads up currently. But one that I forgot to mention that I read earlier was Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. Such a good book. I really liked it. I thought it was like a good look into how people are perceived in the world and how race can affect their perception of you and how people can treat you differently because of it. I thought it was a fantastic read. Like, this girl is just trying to live her life and like all there's just, I don't know, people around her are constantly just treating her a certain way because of her race, which I thought it was interesting because it talked about like the different ways that people might treat you. I don't know. Good read. Would recommend. I'm trying to see what ones I have on my TBR. One that I know I have on my TBR is the second one in the Six Crimson Cranes series.
Oh my gosh, I was just looking at the same thing. It's also on my TBR, The Dragon's Promise.
Yes, I have it checked out from the library. I am like dedicated. It's going to happen. I'm going to read it. And this time I'm not going to audiobook it.
No, that's also on my TBR.
Kaylee, I ask you this every single time. Is that the one with the annoying voice or is that the one with the not annoying voice?
It's the one with the annoying voice. So if you read Six Crimson Cranes on audiobook, the voice for the crane is so annoying. It's so high pitched. I absolutely hate it. And so that's why I'm like, I'm going to give this one like a fair shot and not audiobook it this time so that I don't have to deal with the annoying voice of Kiki.
The covers are beautiful.
They are. They truly are.
I think it's like when I was an art teacher, I actually found the artist who did the covers. And her work is like absolutely gorgeous. I think I found her on Anti-Racist Art Teachers, which is a website that's dedicated to showcasing people of many different races and their art that they make, including contemporary examples. And I really, really liked her art. Her art is beautiful.
I just have to really quickly mention, though, Tress and the Emerald Sea by Brandon Sanderson. I was not a Kickstarter person for the book, but it's finally coming out for everyone who didn't get it on Kickstarter. Or maybe it's already out. Very excited about it. It is like my highly anticipated read of the summer.
So we should do this again, maybe end of the summer, fall, check in and see how many of those books we want to read that we've actually read and what new books we've added.
That's a good idea for sure.
Accountability,
I know. And we get back in like August and all three of us are like, we have not read a single one. We went a completely different direction in our reading journey. and it's all for naught.
Yeah, tune in later, see how many of these we actually read and how many new ones we add instead.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on. So our next book club is going to be Blue-Skinned Gods by S.J. Sindhu, and that will be dropping on June 5th.
So we hope you enjoyed our reading roundup. We'd love to hear what you're reading, what you want to read, your thoughts on any of the books that we mentioned. You can send us an email at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. And don't forget to rate and review Zillennials Podcast on Apple Podcasts.